Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Yatharth Hospital Q4 and FY25 earnings call hosted by Nuvama Wealth Management Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Let me draw your attention to the fact that on this call, discussions will include certain forward-looking statements which are predictions, projections, or other estimates about the future events. These estimates reflect management's current expectations about the future performance of the company. Please note that these estimates involve several risks and uncertainties that could cause our actual results to differ materially from what is expressed or implied. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Ashita Jain from Nuvama Wealth Management. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Avirat, and good day, everyone. On behalf of Nuvama Wealth Management, we welcome you all to Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call of Yatharth Hospitals & Trauma Care Services Limited. From the management side, we have with us today Mr. Yatharth Tyagi, Full-Time Director, Mr. Amit Kumar Singh, Group Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Nitin Gupta, Chief Operating Officer and President Finance, Mr. Pankaj Prabhakar, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Sonu Goyal, Group Financial Controller. I now hand over the conference call to Mr. Yatharth Tyagi for his opening remarks. Over to you, Yatharth, and thank you.
Good morning and a very warm welcome to Yatharth Hospitals & Trauma Care Services Limited earnings conference call for the quarter and year ended March 31, 2024. Joining me today are Mr. Amit Kumar Singh, Group CEO, Mr. Pankaj Prabhakar, Group CFO, Mr. Nitin Gupta, Group COO and President Finance, and Mr. Sonu Goyal, Group Finance Controller. Our earnings presentation has been uploaded to the stock exchange and is also available on our website. We hope you have had a chance to review it. I'm pleased to share a significant clinical milestone. Our Noida Extension Hospital became the first in the region to initiate CAR-T-cell therapy, a groundbreaking treatment for cancer patients. This achievement underscores our commitment to advanced care. We also successfully managed several other complex cases this quarter, including a craniopharyngioma in a three-year-old child with a 52 by 53 by 51 mm cystic mass. The case required a high-risk peritoneal craniotomy, resulting in near-total tumor excision. In another case, we operated a large occipital glioma resection in a 45-year-old Iraqi patient using neuronavigation technology to ensure maximal safe removal with no damage to brain tissues. In another high-risk cardiac surgery involving mitral valve replacement, tricuspid valve annuloplasty, and ASV closure was performed on an international patient with multiple comorbidities, including CKD and complex cardiac anatomy. These cases reflect our clinical depth and advanced infrastructure, positioning us among the top tertiary care providers in the region. I'm also delighted to report another quarter and year of robust performance. Our revenue for the financial year grew over 30% year-on-year, while our EBITDA increased by over 20% year-on-year. Notably, this year, the company generated an operating cash flow of rupees 1,496 million, with a cash conversion ratio of around 70%, reflecting a strong focus on translating profitability into cash generation. This performance is a testament to our relentless focus on operational excellence, strategic expansion, and a commitment to strengthening our leadership in the Delhi NCR healthcare market and in North India. During the year, we made significant strides in expanding our footprints with operationalization of our Greater Faridabad facility in May 2025, adding 200 beds to our network. I'm pleased to inform that within just 10 months, this facility contributed 436 million in revenues and accounted for 9% of our total revenue in quarter four, underlining its strong potential. Furthering our expansion, two new hospitals, one each in New Delhi of around 300 beds and Faridabad of around 400 beds, have been successfully registered, and we have received possession of the site in this quarter. We expect both hospitals to be operationalized by next month, significantly enhancing our presence in Delhi NCR. Our strategic investments in medical infrastructure and super specialty services continue to drive strong patient inflows and value growth across our network. Further, the proportion of government business in our newer hospitals remains significantly lower than the group average, with Greater Faridabad Hospital seeing only 20% of its business coming from government schemes. We expect this trend to continue with our upcoming hospitals in Faridabad and New Delhi, which are also anticipated to have a lower government mix. This shift will drive meaningful improvement in our revenue mix as well as ARPOB for the whole group. We have intensified our focus on attracting medical value travel through strategic engagements with key government and private hospitals in Nigeria, health camps, and local doctors meeting in Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan. Additionally, we have launched information and branding initiatives targeting the African Students Union. We are also setting up information centers in Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Mauritius, Tanzania, and Kenya. And we are actively engaging in partnership discussions with the ministries of health in Iraq and Congo. These initiatives are expected not only to expand our medical value travel business while benefiting from the upcoming airport, but also to significantly contribute to improving ARPOB in the coming years. On the ongoing income tax matter, I am pleased to highlight a major positive development involving all our shareholders. Our subsidy, AKS Medical, which operates the non-extension hospital, has recently deposited ₹12.38 million as additional tax in response to assessments by the income tax authorities related to previous years. Given that this facility accounts for nearly 40% of the group's total revenue, this marks a substantial step forward in the resolution process. With this development, the assessment now remains pending largely for the parent entity. The resolution at AKS Medical involving a relatively insignificant financial liability reinforces our confidence in bringing this matter to a close soon, with no material impact expected on the group's financials. Furthermore, in line with a commitment to the best corporate governance practices, we have received written consent from BDO India, a leading auditing firm, for their proposed appointment as statutory auditor effective from financial year 2026. This proposal will be presented to the board in the upcoming AGM for necessary approvals. Meanwhile, Deloitte continues to serve as an internal auditor, supporting us in strengthening our financial systems and internal controls more. I would also like to take a moment to appreciate the contributions of Mr. Neeraj Vinayak as he moves on to pursue a new career opportunity outside NCR and wish him continued success in his future endeavors. Looking ahead, we are pleased to share that a highly seasoned professional with a strong background in M&A strategy and investor relations and having previously worked with leading hospitals will be stepping into the role. This transition underscores our continued commitment to strengthening our M&A initiatives and deepening our investor engagement. As we move forward, Yatharth Hospitals is well positioned for sustained growth driven by a commitment to clinical excellence, strategic expansion, and investment in advanced medical technologies. We remain focused on delivering long-term value to our stakeholders. With that, I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Pankaj Prabhakar, our CFO, for a detailed financial update.
Thank you, sir. Good morning, everyone. I am pleased to report Yatharth Hospitals has continued its strong growth trajectory, delivering robust results for both the quarter and the full year. Let me first take you all through the results for the quarter. During the quarter, Yatharth Hospitals achieved a revenue of rupees 2,318 million, marking a substantial growth of 30% year over year, driven by growth in our occupancy as well as ARPO. Our Jhansi Orchha Hospital led the way with an impressive 53% year-over-year growth, while Noida Extension posted a 34% year-over-year increase in revenue, now contributing 7% and 36% to our top line respectively. Inpatient volumes surged by 41% and outpatient volumes by 31% YOY during the quarter. We have also made significant strides in advancing our tertiary and quaternary care services. Earlier this year, we introduced a new radiation PET line at our Noida Extension Hospital and robotics across our Noida Extension, Greater Noida and Greater Faridabad hospitals. These investments have significantly boosted our oncology revenue, with oncology now contributing 18% to Noida Extension's revenue and 10% to the group's overall revenue, a 161% increase from last year. Our strategic investment in medical and infrastructure and specialty services continue to drive strong patient inflows and value growth across our hospital networks. In quarter 4 FY 2025, our group ARPO rose by 7% to rupees 31,441. Notably, a Noida Extension facility reported the highest ARPO at rupees 38,806, reflecting an 11% YOY increase driven by approximately 70% contribution from super specialty services. Our Greater Noida facility achieved an ARPOB of rupees 34,960, up by 16% YOY, while our newest facility in Greater Faridabad posted an ARPOB of rupees 30,384 within its first year of operation, reflecting our focus on high-end healthcare solutions. EBITDA for the quarter rose by 23% YOY to rupees 570 million. EBITDA margin stood at 24.6% compared to 26.2% last year. The reduction in EBITDA margin for the quarter was on account of operational losses at our Greater Faridabad unit, which became operational in mid-May. Adjusting for Faridabad Hospital, our EBITDA margin would have been in the range of 26 to 27%. This quarter, overall, our profit grew by 1% YOY at rupees 387 million, a relatively slower profit growth, primarily on account of the increase in depreciation expense in the quarter, in line with our ongoing expansion and investment in advanced medical equipment. Now, the highlight for financial year 25. For the full year, revenue grew by 31% YOY to rupees 8,805 million. Inpatient volume were up by 34%, while outpatient volume were up by 16% YOY in FY25. Our overall group occupancy also increased to 61% in FY25 compared to 54% in the same period last year. Notably, our Noida Extension and Jhansi Orchha have shown impressive occupancy gain, reaching 60% and 50% respectively. EBITDA for the financial year 25 stood at rupees 2,202 million, up 22% YOY, with an EBITDA margin of 25%. Net profit for the period stood at rupees 1,306 million, up 14% YOY. Our balance sheet continues to remain strong with a net cash position of rupees 5,032 million, bolstered by the recent QIP. Our ROCE for the year stood at 19%, impacted by operational losses at the Greater Faridabad facility and expanded capital base and acquisitions and investments in advanced technologies. However, we are confident that this is a temporary blip, and once the new facilities ramp up, ROCE will return to the earlier level. We remain optimistic about sustaining our growth momentum in both revenue and profitability. Our focus will continue to be on operational excellence, expanding our presence in North India and capitalizing on emerging opportunities in the healthcare sector. Thank you for your attention. I would now like to hand over the call to the moderator for question and answer session, please.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and one. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ritika from Perpetuity Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. So I just wanted to know that how do you plan to face the beds in Faridabad and Delhi? And due to the operationalization of the new hospital, what will be the impact on the EBITDA?
So both the second hospital of Faridabad region and the New Delhi hospitals, you know, we are planning to launch these hospitals before the end of next month. So their full operations should be coming up, you know, fully from the first day of quarter two. You know, we feel that the Faridabad hospital will be, which is a 400-bedded and the Delhi is 300-bedded. So from day one, more than 70% beds of both these hospitals would be operational. And as in when, you know, the occupancy increases, the beds can be utilized further. But we are quite confident that before the 6 months of both these hospitals starting, we will be fully operationalizing 400 beds as well as 300 beds in the New Delhi hospital. As far as your second, you know, question on the impact on the EBITDA, we do expect, you know, EBITDA losses in both of these hospitals for at least, you know, 12 to 15 months of getting operationalized. If you see our Greater Faridabad Hospital, which started, you know, in this financial year. So after the full financial year, you know, we have reached a status there where in the latest month, that hospital has become EBITDA break-even. So I think with the similar trend going forward, we do expect the New Delhi and Faridabad hospitals to also be EBITDA break-even somewhere after 12 to 15 months of operationalizing.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshat Mehta from Seven Rivers Holding. Please go ahead.
Hello, Sam, audible?
Yes, very much.
Hello.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for... So thank you, sir, for the opportunity. You know, on your working capital, sir, it's still quite high at the end of FY25. What is the plan there going forward? And you know, why are the receivables so high?
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Akshat. Your voice is not audible. Could you move a bit closer to the phone?
I think it should be better now.
Yeah, please go ahead with
the
question.
The question was, I just wanted to understand what is the plan on, you know, reducing the receivable days going forward, and, you know, why are they so high at the end of FY25 as well? That's my first question.
Yeah, so, you know, our receivable days are higher on the higher side because our government business is also on the higher side compared to, you know, some of the listed peers. Also, if you look at it, however, this year, even with the similar days that we have last year, the company has, you know, been able to generate high cash. In fact, our OCF to EBITDA conversion this year is around 68%, you know, almost 70%. So the focus is on, you know, I mean, the money that is was struck last year, you know, that amount has now been majoritively recovered by the company. Yes, the new amount has also gone into, you know, outstanding receivables, which will also be, you know, received in the coming quarters, like we have for this whole year. In fact, if you look at the H1 of this year, our days were close to 110 days. So it is only the H2 where the data is have increased, which is a similar trend that we do observe sometimes. Quarter 4 is usually the receivables are less. However, you know, as we have shown for the full financial year, the company has recovered a huge amount of its receivables, and we will continue to do that next year. As far as your question of in the long term, how to reduce the total days we have, we feel when our newer hospitals get into, you know, full scale running, where the government business is already quite less, that's where you will actually see the difference in the receivable days. So the Greater Faridabad Hospital has just 20% of government business. Also, the New Delhi hospitals and the main Faridabad Hospital, when that starts, there is the government business will also be around 20% there. And that is the only solution for this long-term receivable days to come down. However, we are quite happy with the receivable that we have received for the whole year. And this is the trend that we will be continuing next year also.
Sir, can you on follow up on that, sir? Can you share the payer mix for the full year?
Yeah, so I think our government business is close to 37%, and remaining is the breakup is between the private insurance as well as the cash patients.
Be an equal split or? Hello? Would that be an equal split?
So yeah, cash CPA contributes to around 67% of the overall business, okay, and the split in cash and TPA, here our cash business is around 35% and rest is our TPA business, 32%.
And the cash includes the international business also.
Okay. The question, sir, I want to create during...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Akshat, your voice is not audible.
So I just wanted to ask, there was a pledge that was created in quarter 4 FY25. What is the reason for that pledge on the promoter holding?
Yeah, so that pledge was nothing to do with the company FR. That pledge was done for the certain personal investments that the promoters made, and it is only in the tune of 8% shares of the overall company work pledge. That was a settlement that happened between the cousin brothers of the promoters, because a promoter's extended family member, Krishna Tyagi, who was holding those amount of, you know, equity, had passed away. So her shares had to be transferred to her unswipe family members. And because of that settlement, the pledge was done, which was only 8%. So because the amount that you receive by pledging, the pledge has to be 3.5x. of that amount, that's why it appears 8%. However, the amount that was raised was only in the tune of 130 crores that was raised by pledging these shares. And the promoters are quite confident that, you know, within a year or so, once their other properties get sold, they would be also unpledging this amount.
Okay, sir. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pavan Bhatia from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. I just had a few questions. Firstly, regarding the tax rate. So I think this year we saw 24% effective tax rate compared to 27% last year. And in Q4, I think we saw about 20%. So I just want to understand what level can we see going forward?
So if you see, last year we reported around 27% as effective tax rate, and this year we are at around 24%. I'm talking for the year-on-year basis. And this is the same trend we will continue for the near future. 24%.
Okay, understood. And secondly, in terms of occupancy rate, I think our Noida facility, we have seen a drop from 89% last year to 79% this year. But I think earlier you had mentioned that this is a move which you all have planned to do. So just want to know that since ARPOB has grown about 10% here, but the revenue has been flat. So what can we see going forward in terms of occupancy rate at this facility?
Yeah, so you are absolutely right. I think you remember our, earnings calls of quarter one and quarter two. That time we had mentioned that, we wanted to bit sanitize the, payers of, payer mix of Noida. And that's what the deliberate attempt we took to, minimize the institutional business. So the result, what you say, yes, this year you may see this as numbers are flat, but the good side of it, if you see the, ARPOB has increased by more than 10%, right? So I think that's operational efficiency has increased by doing so. And then similar kind of, a thought process we would be having it even for our existing hospital also, we'll try to bit sanitize the institutional business. But yes, coming year, next financial year, if you see this, whatever the steps which you have taken it, that impact will start coming from, this quarter or probably next quarter. So our specialty mix will be better. Your revenue mix will also be seen more towards the super specialty mix. So we are very hopeful as far as whatever these steps which you have taken as far as Noida Hospital is concerned.
So even the occupancy rate could see an increase from here?
The occupancy is it's close to 80%, which we believe is a good occupancy. I mean, that's a 4-5% we may see. So anything between 80-85% occupancy, it is a very good occupancy. If you go more than, one quarter probably it was closer to 90%, which we believe that's sort of difficult to manage. So I think 85% is a fairly okay occupancy, and I think we are okay with this.
Okay. Just one last question in terms of the ARPOB at Jhansi. So I think we have seen about 13,200 this year in the terms of ARPOB. So what trend do we look at going forward from here?
So Jhansi will be more or less similar. If you remember, the earlier the Jhansi had reported a higher, the ARPOB because of the initially when we were not having the institutional business, initially we were not having the PSU's business, cash business was more. Right, but now if you see, Jhansi is doing a very good institutional business because that area has nature of business is more of the PSUs and institutions, right? So that is the reason we believe that I think this is 13,000-14,000. I think anything closer to 15,000 would be a good ARPO for a Jhansi, and that was as per expected line.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deval Shah from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir. So, the voice wasn't clear. So, can you repeat the PMS for this financial year for the company?
So, sir, out of 100%, our 37% business is for the institutional business, and the 63% is for the cash and TPA, and out of 63, 35% for the cash, and the 32% for the TPA business.
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumit Gupta from Centrum. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible, sir?
Yes, Mr. Sumit, you may go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So just want to ask on the working capital cycle. So it's so this cycle is around 120 days. So going forward over the next 2 to 3 years, how do you see this panning out?
So as I mentioned, with now the newer hospitals starting up, the Greater Faridabad where the institutional business is just 20%, and New Delhi and Faridabad hospitals which are getting operationalized very soon, where similar government business is expected. So, somewhere when those two hospitals start contributing, so I think we do feel that in 2 to 3 years' time, these days should be reducing somewhere around 20-25 days, and that's the plan forward. However, as earlier mentioned, we are quite happy with this year because the company has been able to recover a lot of amount that was stuck in receivables. So that's equally important for us to also focus. Yes, receivable days will come down in the long run, but equivalently, the company will be getting good cash flows from the amount that has been outstanding in the receivables.
Okay, and on a like-to-like basis, so if we exclude these two new facilities, so on a like-to-like basis, how has the working capital cycle fared?
Yeah, so I think we would expect, the three new facilities, probably in a year's time would be having receivable days of close to around 60 to 80 to begin off with. And that's how in the overall group level, even though their contribution will be lower in terms of the absolute volume, but then overall at the group level, that's how we would expect the receivable days to also come down.
Okay. And next question is on the paper. So how much paper do you plan to invest over the next 2 to 3 years?
So I think last year we have done a capex of close to 310 crores. Similarly is the roadmap ahead for this year and the next year. Any other inorganic acquisitions would be separate. So 300 crores would be done on the existing 7 hospitals, which includes New Delhi and the Faridabad for this year. And if we look for any other inorganic acquisition or a greenfield land project, that would be a separate capex that the company would be doing.
Okay, so basically capex per bed usually comes out to 7 to 8 million per bed, if I'm not wrong.
For the existing hospitals.
For the existing or for the acquisition that you are looking at, if there is any...
For the acquisition...
It would be more than 1 crore.
Yeah, acquisitions would be somewhere around 80 lakhs to 1 crore X of land for the inorganic acquisition. You're correct.
Right. Cool. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Umakant Sharma from Vanch Venture. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Could you just touch a little bit on the how should we see the ARPOBs evolving, given that we are adding new capacities and similarly and with the new existing capacity as well. So how should we be seeing the ARPOBs for the current year as well as going ahead for 27? And similarly, what should be the baseline which should be setting up for the margins for the current year as well as for the next year?
So if you see, we last year the ARPOB growth, be it a node extension hospital or even greater node hospital, that's more than 10%, right? So I mean this would be an expected line. So as far as a new hospital concerned, as Yathath already mentioned, that's where the very first day we're gonna start with the very tertiary and quaternary nature of the business. And also, the institutional business would be significantly low. So there you will see a very good, guidance for, ARPOB concern. I don't want to give you any particular number, but yes, this will be a much better than what probably as of now what we are having it. And you see the trend is suggesting the same. I mean, more than 10% ARPOB year on year we are growing. So you can draw the inferences accordingly.
So would it be fair to say it should be in the range of 30,000-33,000 ARPOB for the at least for the initial ramp up phase for the new hospital?
Yeah, I think that start with. In fact, to be very honest, would be a closer to what probably today we have. Noida extension and Greater Noida, so closer to 35,000 kind of line start with.
Okay, perfect. And on the margin side, what should be the baseline we should be setting, given that there will be a lot of incremental costs that will be getting added for the current year. As well as for 27, if you could just throw some color around that as well.
I think overall margins we feel of what we have reported in quarter four, the overall margins should be somewhere around that for the whole financial year 26 and 27 individually, maybe a 0.5% up or down. But I think the Q4 margins would be a right estimate to take for the financial years going forward.
So you don't see there could be further dilution, even that next quarter is when a lot of the capacity will be getting started. You don't see further downside to the margin?
That's why we said that quarter four was a bit lower than the full financial year for 25. That's why we have taken quarter four as the right assumption. And yes, we do expect the new facility to start, but also let's not forget that our existing facilities will also be expanding in margins, because there's still occupancy ramp up that is still remaining in Greater Noida and Noida Extension Hospital, and also the Greater Faridabad Hospital will be a bit positive from the coming quarters. So that is why we feel they will also help in the sustaining the better margins that we have in quarter four.
Got it. And so one question on the occupancy side, normally in a typical new setup, when you put up a new hospital, especially when you have acquired a hospital,
What is the time that it takes? How many, from a year standpoint, how much time does it take typically for it to ramp up to a good level of occupancies?
No, so technically, if you see our Faridabad and Delhi hospital is in a way greenfield hospital, right? We are starting business from the scratch, right? So it takes around 12 to 18 months it will take for us, you know, to reach an operational break-even, right? And then from there, we'll see. But sometimes it's day early as well, but we don't want to commit as such any this thing. But anything is fairly assumption is 12 to 18 months should be, you know, right assumptions to have reaching the operational break-even.
Okay. So, and what occupancy do we say that we are operating operational break-even? About 30%?
It should be closer to anything, closer to 30% kind of occupancy, which we may consider, you know, will be. But depends on, you know, size. As you know, Faridabad hospital is a much bigger hospital, right? Whereas in Delhi is a 300-bed hospital, Faridabad is a 400-bed. So there is a 1 or 2, 3% here and there, depends on the, you know, specialty in which location you are and what, you know, the clinical mix you are starting with. So that varies, but 30% would be a fair assumption.
Got it. And just one last question from one of the previous participants, right? If you could just throw some color around this CAPEX guidance which you have given. So you said that there's going to be 300 crore of CAPEX which will be incurring on the existing hospital, plus there will be some acquisition and all of that. So this 300, where will you be deploying it? If you could just throw some color on that.
Yeah, so the breakup of 300 roughly, you know, you can see that the Faridabad hospital, the 400 bedded, so around 100 crores would still be spent there for the medical equipments as well as construction, because that is still an ongoing capex. You know, it has not started and we are at the final stage of now procuring the equipment. So that will technically lie for this financial year. So 100 crores will go into the 400 bedded Faridabad hospital. Around, I would say, 55 crores will go to the New Delhi hospital medical equipment also. That's also, the procurement is still ongoing there. So close to around 150 in these two hospitals as far as medical equipment are concerned. And the remaining, you know, would also be spent certain amount on our existing five hospitals. That is the Noida Extension, Greater Noida, as well as the Greater Faridabad Hospital. And then the remaining capex will also be spent on the brownfield expansion that we would be doing for the Greater Noida and the Noida Extension hospitals, where, you know, we are adding 200 beds and 250 beds each. So that will also be there, and that is how total of 300 crores amount you reach.
Got it. And any color on the acquisition front? Are we evaluating something on the greenfield side? Any thoughts for the current year?
We would be looking to add at least one facility for this financial year. I think, you know, in the coming quarters, hopefully we should be able to give more clarity on that.
Okay, sure. Chale. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anuj Kashyap from A3 Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. I'm audible?
Yes. Go ahead, please. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Just I wanted to know that what is the margin differential between our international patients and the domestic patients? Is there any differential?
Yeah, so, you know, typically if you see an institutional business and the insurance business and international business and cash business, there is a, you know, work on a various percentage. Institutional, international business will give you probably 1.3x kind of, right? Whereas, you know, if the 100 rupees if you take as in a cash business, PPA insurance business will be probably 90% of it. The institutional business will be a closer to 60 to 65% of it. So this is how it goes.
And sir, add on to this one question is, like sir, in NCR, there are a lot of MNCs and there are a lot of institutions. So is there any strategy from our side to capture that market, like the wellness stuff, which the institutions are focusing on, like companies and all?
So I think, yeah, I think that's for every hospital. If you see, there is a very separate, you know, institutional business when they talked about just not only the government, it's about the corporate and PSU. So there are a whole lot of the corporate and PSUs existing in this region. And of course, we have a separate team who are already working with it. And most of them would be on our, you know, already been, you know, impaneled, and some of them would be ongoing. So it's an ongoing activity and we have a separate team, a very aggressive team who are working on it.
And sir, last one from my side. what I wanted to know is that from the past experience as a team, the Yatharth team, what we have experienced is, which is, if we have to focus on the capex side, which is beneficial for us, greenfield or brownfield expansion, as your past experience. Just.
We have, have today, if you see, we have always worked on a mixed philosophy. Yes, we started out from greenfield. The Greater Noida, Noida Extension, Noida Sector 110 have been greenfield expansions. And then going forward, we have acquired hospitals. When the company grew, we were able to raise capital. We were able to acquire Greater Faridabad Hospitals, now Delhi and the Faridabad Hospital. So we have seen, a mix of greenfield acquisitions and now brownfield. Obviously, we are expanding the Greater Noida Extension and Greater Noida. We have had a good fair mix, or like we are working alongside three strategies. But one thing that we have clear on is that so far we have always owned 100% equity, including the land and the buildings with us. And there has been no hospital on O&M lease model. So I think so far that has been our strength, and that is also somewhere helped in our margins as well, that having no cost for O&M to share. So I think that has been a strong reason for a good margin visibility also. So that's what we have so far believed in. But as far as brownfield, greenfield acquisition is concerned, we have been doing a mix of the philosophy there.
No, sir, just a little bit more. Just like for the hospitality sector, so we are different. The two sectors are totally different. But the asset-like model for hotels will not be more beneficial for our balance sheet on the balance sheet side.
See, I think so far we have, we feel that for us the location and the asset is very important. And, sometimes what we can get creating a whole infrastructure or by acquiring certain assets which are available for 100% equities are not always available for O&M model. And technically also, if you look, so far even the acquisitions we have done have been sort of hospitals which were non-operational. So we have started them afresh from the scratch. We have not acquired assets which were running. So we feel because we do not want to compromise on the quality of the asset, we would, geographic location, infrastructure, minimum size of beds is very important to us. And we don't mind acquiring those assets and starting up fresh as a clean slate. And in fact, that has worked for us. Both the Greater Faridabad facility as well as the Jhansi Orchha hospitals were non-operational for some time before we acquired it. Similarly, Delhi hospital, Model Town hospital was non-operational, used to function a year ago. So I think because, of these factors, we are okay with acquiring assets rather than, trying to get them on lease.
And so last one, sir, from my side is, sir, is there any, like you told, you were looking for the expansion. So, sir, how strategically, geographically, we can add some different geography to our books so that our portfolio as a group become balanced? Are you looking for a geographical differential in this?
So we don't want to go much out of our geography areas that we are currently present in, So we feel Delhi NCR, North India market of UP, Haryana, probably, nearby states like Punjab, Rajasthan, Bihar. These are strong areas. So this is where we want to be in the coming years. We don't want to come to Southwest. We want to be in the areas where we have strong presence. In fact, if you look, there are, hospitals, we have more than one hospital within the same city now. We have two hospitals in Faridabad, one in Faridabad and Greater Noida, and then Noida, we have three hospitals. So we believe in being the biggest player in the cities and the region where we operate. And that really gives us a much more brand visibility rather than going to areas which are, 5,000 kilometers away where we started off from. So at least for the next 3 to 4 years, we want to solidify our presence. And, these are the areas which we understand very well. Today, to attract doctors in NCR is not an issue for us because we have created a brand here. If we go to other geographies across India, it will take us some time to develop this brand equity yet. So that's why for the next at least 3 to 4 years, we are very clear we want to be in North India, the region we are very well understand, and we feel it's the easiest growth for us because there's so much potential still remaining in the areas where we operate, and we will be leveraging that potential as well as the brand there.
Thank you, sir. Best of luck for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vicky Vagwani from Guardian Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question was on depreciation. It has declined quarter on quarter from 169 million to 129 million.
So yeah, basically depreciation declined quarter on quarter. Main reason is because of the deferred tax. So there's a deferred tax asset has been created for this quarter to the tune to rupees 3 CR. That leads to the decline in the overall number in current tax.
Okay. And sir, what would be the quarterly run rate going forward as we operationalize the hospitals?
For tax or for depreciation?
Yeah, quarterly depreciation from next quarter.
It's the same. The amount quarter on quarter will be same what you reported in Q4. So, okay. Excluding the two new assets. So this is for the five assets as of now. So for all the five hospitals, the depreciation what we have reported on quarter four will be the same next from next quarter onwards.
Okay. Thank you so much. So can you please repeat the update on income tax about the subsidiary? And also you highlighted that there is ongoing case about parent company. Please if you can give the details on the same.
Yeah, so what I mentioned earlier in my commentary was, you know, we see a huge development in the ongoing income tax matter. You know, the assessment for the AKS, which is the Noida Extension Hospital, which contributes to, you know, that subsidy contributes to 40% to the parent Yatharth company. The assessment has there, you know, has resulted in a requirement for the company to deposit an additional tax of rupees 12.38 million. So we feel it is as per our you know, stance and expectation that it will be a very insignificant financial liability for the company. And you know, this is the main subsidy, 40% to contributing. The other subsidies that is the Ram Raja as well as the Greater Faridabad hospitals are very small contributors to the revenue. Greater Faridabad is just 40 crores. Ram Raja would be around 60 crores. So now the matter would be for the parent company Yatharth, which operates in Noida as well as the Great Noida Hospital. So we are quite confident also that going forward, this two specific two hospitals will also be resolved and ultimately, you know, hoping to close the complete income tax matter before the end of this financial year.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anandi from Kesma Wealth Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. I just want to know what would be the segment revenue breakup in terms of geography standpoint for the next financial year.
So I think you know we expect you know how we look at is hospital wise. So you know the total growth that the Noida region has shown, which includes the Noida Hospital, Great Noida, Noida Extension, will still continue at a similar trend because there's still a lot of occupancy ramp up that is yet to be seen in Noida Extension, Greater Noida, and in fact Noida 110 also that we spoke about earlier is increasing in ARPOB. So we expect a similar trend of growth there. As far as the Faridabad region is concerned, now two hospitals will be working there. So earlier only Greater Faridabad was there, but now the main Faridabad hospital, which will also have cancer treatment, which is a much bigger hospital, you know, will start. So the Faridabad contribution of what it was for this financial year of FY25 will in fact actually double if I talk about in the financial year 26, because two hospitals starting there and also the Greater Faridabad, you know, ramping up the numbers after the full financial year of working. And as far as Delhi is concerned, it's a new territory as in the sense that it is the first hospital we are starting there in the region of Model Town, which is in North Delhi. So, you know, probably what the numbers that we have seen in Greater Faridabad for the first financial years could be the number that we can see coming up from the Delhi region. So this is roughly the, you know, overall analysis that we see geography-wise.
Sorry, can you just repeat on the Delhi processes?
Yeah, so Delhi hospital, we do expect a similar performance of what our Greater Faridabad hospital has shown in the first financial year. So I think the numbers coming from the Delhi geographies would be something similar to what are Greater Faridabad has shown for this year.
Okay, okay. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Prateek Bora from Share India. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, sir, I missed the earlier minutes of the call. So can you just guide me about the what impacted the EBITDA margin on YOY basis? That it has been 29 to 25. So can you give me some light on that?
So we were mentioning that, you know, somewhere the EBITDA margins that we have shown in quarter four should be the right basis for the financial years moving forward, maybe 0.5% up and down, but something similar to what the EBITDA margins in quarter four are.
Okay, sir. And then my one more question was that ki, right now we are having an working capital of 120, we have increased by 17 days. So can you give me that reference to what will we be doing that?
As the newer hospitals get operationalized, that is the Noida, the Faridabad hospital, and also the Greater Faridabad, you know, contribution increases because it was just its first year of working. There we just see government business contribution coming to only around 20%, and that will be the real value addition that will be coming on our working days as well as you know, working capital and debtor days. So I think in the long run, it is expected to go down for sure. However, what's important is that, you know, we continue to get the receivables and, you know, each year. And this year, we have seen a good amount of cash flow coming in the company because of the, you know, receivables that we have able to recover. So that's equally important for us going forward also. But yes, we do expect the working capital and the receivable days to come down in the long run.
Any expected working capital days for the next 1 year?
I think in the long run, after 2 to 3 years, we should be closer to you know, the days of 80 to for the overall company. And yes, in the newer hospitals, it would be much lesser.
Any future guidance on top line basis for the next financial year, FY26?
I think we will continue to do well. That's all we can say. I mean, the company has shown you know, growth of 30% yearly YOY for last few years now, in fact. So not just FY25, but even before that, we have continued this growth momentum, and we are quite confident in the future also. We would like to, you know, continue this momentum going forward.
So while evaluating the valuation, we can expect the same number, same percentage of growth, correct?
I mean, hopefully, that is the way forward. This is what company has done in the past. Maybe.
Yeah, so I was asking about the numbers that we are expecting for the future, next 1 year.
We feel the numbers that we have delivered in the past year on year should be a sustainable number even for the coming few financial years ahead.
Okay, so can you just throw some light on the reserves? So reserve has been doubled for this year from March 24 to 25. So what we see for the next 1 to 2 years overall review? So we are having growth.
So basically reserve has been doubled because there was a additional profitability which has been arrived in this year by 1305 million. Along with that, we have done the QIP. There was a security premium which has been there of 6,145 million, and there are certain expenditure related to the expenditure which has been done on the issue expenditure which was being deleted. Hence, these are kind of thing for which we have arrived the kind of a reserve and surplus which has grown to 15,091 million.
So we will continue this, or we will have a segment growth just because of QIP?
No. This was the one time which has been done with the QIP. And when the share has been allotted, there was a security premium which has been done in the December 2024, which has added to the reserve of 6,145 million additionally in this year particularly.
Correct. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Tokas from FVC. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Just two quick questions. The first is, you have laid out the capacity growth plan, but what is your preference in terms of what would the specialty mix look like after these capacities come online?
So, you know, so far we have always maintained a good specialty mix. You know, we are a super specialty hospital. We do not specifically focus on a single specialty. You know, we like to have leading clinicians and high-end treatments across all the specialties. But, you know, as the transition we have seen in the last few years and the current trend is our super specialties are growing much faster. In fact, the specialties like oncology, you know, has increased a lot, and you know, the departments like high-end neurosurgery, cardiac surgery, these are the departments which are increasing, and you know, basic general specialties like internal medicine, you know, pediatrics, gynecology, these are reducing in terms of share of pie. So going forward also with these new hospitals, we would be doing a high-end super specialty work and expecting our super specialty contribution to be somewhere around, you know, 60 to 70% in each hospital, and probably around 30% would be from the general specialties.
Okay, got it. And second question was, you mentioned this in passing earlier that your brand helps you get doctors easily, but for the capacity expansion plans that the industry as a whole has and that you have, do you think talent availability can be a challenge for the industry or for you?
See, that is why, you know, I earlier mentioned that we like to be in the areas where we already have a, you know, good brand presence. So, you know, when we're going to Delhi, we, you know, are located, or our previous hospitals are already in Noida and Greater Faridabad. So, there are a lot of doctors even today that come to us from Delhi, and a lot of doctors know our brand there. So, it's easier for us to attract star doctors in that region. Similarly for, you know, the Faridabad hospital, because already we have a hospital in Greater Faridabad. Today, you know, a lot of doctors in Faridabad wants to join us. And in fact, in both of these hospitals, the Faridabad and the New Delhi hospital that are opening up, we have already onboarded certain leading specialists, you know, that, and that process is constantly going on right now. So because, you know, we are going in the areas where we understand the market, and, you know, NCR is not shortage of doctors there. There's still a lot of doctors that are available in tier one cities. If we try to go to tier 3 cities, you know, let's say that in the past, from my experience in, you know, Jhansi Orchha Hospital, it did take us time there to onboard super specialist doctors. But in our NCR hospitals, it is not a challenge for us.
All right. Got it. Thank you, sir, and have a good day.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vijay Chauhan from RHPMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so I would like to understand, when do we take the price hike and what is the range for the annual price hike that we take?
So typically, you know, that depends on where we are entering into it. So we look at that, we study the market, and generally if I tell you that year on year, we see the price hike, but it's not that, you know, on a blanket this side. So we try to look at it, some specialty, we try to look at it, some of the, you know, procedures wise. So every year there are some corrections happens, right? And also on top of it, every 2 years there is a corrections from the DIPSA and insurance pricing, right? So this is a typically which you see, but like when we set up a new hospital, like coming in a Faridabad or a Delhi, we try to look at it there, you know, existing market there in a computer, what all the pricing, and accordingly we'll put our pricing strategy. So, but typically year on year you may see.
And when does it happen typically? Any particular quarter, like financial year or calendar year?
Yeah, it's typically it's a new financial year. But in between also, if required, that some corrections can happen. But that too, you'll get advantage of in a cash patient. Because insurance, you can always, you know, we can do at one. You can't do in between.
Oh. Okay, okay. And what is the seasonality in terms of quarter, like which are the stronger ones and which are the weaker ones for the hospitality space? Can you just throw some light?
Yeah, so Northern India has a seasonality impact, you know, but seasonality is like, you know, it has an impact on disease mix, you know, the clinical mix. Because if you see a Q1 and Q4, you may see a, you know, good strong quarter, right, in terms of the revenue or something. But in terms of the volume, you may see, you know, Q2, Q3 is a good volume because of the, you know, dengue and other things comes, right? So this has an impact, but, you know, when you come to the likes of Q3, you tend to get a, you know, good number of super specialty cases, particularly cardiac and neuro, right? So it has a seasonal variations are there, but it changes with the, you know, qualitative and quantitative both actually.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akash Shah from Asian Wealth. Please go ahead.
My question has already been answered.
Mr. Akash?
Thank you.
Okay.
Hello?
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Poddar from Vihansh Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I have two questions on the business front. So the first question is with regards to that, going forward, as we have already seen a shift in revenue mix from the general internal medicine side towards the specialty segments, which has already come into play. So futuristically going ahead, how much does that change the total cost structure and the fund application? And in turn, how will that affect the CapEx amount per bed? Does that significantly inch up that amount because of higher CapExes in specialty equipments or specialty expansions as such, or does it keep the cost of operation roughly the same?
So, you know, the answer cannot be like, you know, one answer. So if you look at it, if it's an existing hospital, right, where we are, you know, having operation for the last couple of years where all the super specialties will be there, right? So we don't require much of, you know, the additional expenditure on it because you've already spent on equipment and you've already onboarded those super specialist doctors, right? But, yes, if you want to start any super specialty high-end treatment like a transplant and, you know, onco or something, it has a cost in terms of the equipment and infrastructure or a doctor side as well. So, but for the new hospital, let's say, Faridabad and Delhi, we want to start very first day with absolutely, you know, very high-end treatment procedures, you know, quaternary care. So we would like to have a cancer, we would like to have a transplant program there. So there, that is totally depends on, what type of, you know, the clinical mix you want to, you know, start with that particular facility. So this has, this thing. And then it's all, you know, tailor-made. It's totally with your.
Yeah. So it's also, see, I think it would be right to take it on a year-on-year basis. Ultimately, the CapEx and operational efficiencies do not have to start from literally the first quarter when the hospital gets started because it also takes time to get even after operating, you know, to get licenses as far as, you know, let's say transplant program is concerned. And, you know, oncology also takes time. The machines usually, so let's say in our Faridabad hospital, the oncology machines will not be there from first quarter. They will be there somewhere around quarter three because it takes time for the machine even after order to come to India. So overall, the whole year, yes, the operational cost spread is there, but it still is done quarter on quarter for the company. So, you know, the whole loss doesn't come straight away from quarter one. And by the time you ramp up to these super specialty treatments, super specialty machines, basic hospital working also starts. So ultimately, that's how the overall year-end is a right way to look for the first year operating of a hospital rather than looking the first year from quarter on quarter basis.
Okay. Okay. That's helpful. And the second question that I have is with, can you shed some light on the doctors' attrition rates within the company? And also you mentioned that, because of our current band, you know, we've been pulling doctors in for the specialty segment. So how does that empanelment look like for the new specialties that we are now, which are now contributing, important parts of our revenue base? And, what are some of the ways that we are doing, these empanelments and, also the attrition numbers for the doctors?
Yeah. So, firstly, as far as empanelment of doctors are concerned, you know, if you look across our number of doctors across the group have rapidly increased. Even within the same specialties that we were having earlier, we are having multiple doctors within the same specialties. So it's not just the newer specialties, the new doctors are being onboarded, but we're constantly, engaging with leading doctors of this region of outside NCR also who are joining us in existing specialties also. So, in fact, today with these two hospitals getting operationalized, our total doctor count could even touch upwards of, around 800 numbers of 800 doctors. That includes consultants, super senior consultants, junior consultants, overall doctor numbers if I talk about. And, attrition has really, come in control for our group. If I talk about 3 years ago, it used to be much higher, but that was because of certain programs that we were not having as far as the educational institutions within the hospitals are concerned. So DNB, as soon as we started, DNB students who are coming to us, now we do not require to hire many junior doctors, and that is where the attrition is highest. Because now we get junior doctors from the DNB students who join us, remain at least for 3 years and then pass out with a postgraduate equivalent degree. So that is why attrition has come down a lot. If I talk about, super specialty and senior doctors, our attrition is not even 20%. And, as far as junior doctors are concerned, it has really come down after the start of DNB program. In fact, the one place where attrition is, still a challenge for a lot of hospitals in North India is the nursing attrition. Nursing attrition is very high compared to even South India. North India and Delhi instead have had this problem much more. So that is what even today, we are trying to take a lot of steps as far as doctor retention, nursing retentions are concerned. One of our hospitals, that is the Greater Noida Hospital, will very soon be starting nursing courses where, GNM, and, courses of nursing, BSc nursing, students can come and get nursing degree and then we can place them directly, placements into our hospitals. So there are a lot of steps that we're constantly taking. And today, because we have accreditations like JCIE, it is much easier for us to attract these doctors, these nurses, because ultimately quality of our hospital does help to attract these talent when it comes to it.
Got it. Thanks for answering the questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshat Mehta from Seven Rivers Holding. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So I just had one question. I just wanted to understand, have we started anything on the brownfield expansions that we were going to do? And what is the exact date, they will be operationalized? Is there any update on that?
Yeah, so Greater Noida Hospital, the brownfield expansion, the basement working has started, there. That is the whole architecture plans has been approved. All the compliance work is going on. And as far as Noida extension is concerned, we are in final stages of finalizing the whole architectural drawing of the brownfield expansion and the addition of the floors are concerned. So we are quite confident that, within a timeline of 1.5 years from today, we should be having these capacity to use. Greater Noida would be much faster because it is a step further ahead.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurabh Dole from Two Weekend Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. I just had one question. The expansion that you did in Jhansi, Ocha, the ARPOBs there are obviously distinctly lower than the rest of the hospitals. So going forward, and especially given the fact that you obviously have a plan of adding some hospitals, at least one hospital this financial year, does it mean that you will not go out of New Delhi, and perhaps Jhansi Ocha was a lesson that you should not be venturing out into such areas where ARPOB, acceleration can be a challenge?
No, I think it is nothing specific to Jhansi Orcha only, but in general, we feel it is better to stay in tier 1 cities, to at least stay in NCR region. If not NCR, then, even there are big cities across UP like Lucknow, Kanpur, and, Rajasthan like Jaipur. Punjab has some really good cities that are coming up where the healthcare market is quite attractive. So I think we feel that this is where we would like to be in the years going forward. And it's not that, learned anything different from Jhansi. It was as per expectations. We did expect the hospital to perform on what it is expecting. If you look at it, the investment we have done, we are quite happy with the return that we are getting from Jhansi. Look at the ROC and the ROE numbers that hospital has. Yes, the ARPOB is not very high. So the scale in terms of or total contribution to the hospital, you know, revenue per month or to the whole group is less. But in terms of, you know, the amount that we pay to get that property, it is break even within our expected timeline. We are generating profits from there. So we are happy with the way the bus is running there. As far as going forward, we do feel that the markets of NCR and big cities in the nearby states are much attractive, and we can make a much bigger impact to the group if we expand in those areas.
So if you look at the ROCE of perhaps the Jhansi hospital, you know, the ARPOBs are nowhere close to what the other hospitals are generating. So the kicker on the ROCE comes from what? Is it the lower initial capital that you put out to buy that hospital, or is there any other metric there?
Yeah, the lower capital that was initially done to buy that hospital.
Okay, and does it also mean that you will not be adding, you know, all sorts of other specialties that you have in the other hospitals at Jhansi Orchha, or will it be at par?
No, I mean, we are doing almost all major specialties that we have in NCR except oncology and transplant program. Because, see, if you look at transplant program like liver, kidney and bone marrow transplant, majority of the patients who come for these treatments are international patients. So we don't, we feel in NCR there's much scope for these international patients to come. And as far as also oncology is concerned, we feel that it is much better to have those in this region rather than in a place like Jhansi Orchha. But in the other hospitals going forward that we will be acquiring, we would be doing all specialties including cancer as well as the transplant program.
Just to add what Yatha says, if you ignore the numbers, see, Jhansi Hospital adds lots of, you know, goodwill to our brand. If you look at the existing numbers in Jhansi, we are doing a very good super specialty work. Neurosurgery, you know, orthopedic, urosurgery is doing a fantastic number. Yes, the ARPOB is low because we know that, you know, the kind of, even if you won't get a insurance rate what you are getting in Delhi NCR, right, then their institutional business are much more. But it adds a lots of value, goodwill around 200, 250 kilometers that area, right? And that we also getting us so many super specialty cases, you know, from those regions coming directly to Noida, Greater Noida side. So that's the advantage we have.
Got it. That's very clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everybody for your questions, and we hope we were able to take most of the questions and answer on the whole management of Yatha's behalf. I thank you. Thank you to the moderator and Nuvama Wealth for organizing this earnings call. Thank you.
Thank you so much. On behalf of Nuvama Wealth Management Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.